To Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Sean, the natural vet, on our new show. We love cats and dogs and the people who care for them. We hope you are some of those people, and you will call us, 888-627-6008. We're here for 2 whole hours to answer any question you have about your pets. That number is 888-627-6008. Our engineer Doug will put you on hold and we'll know you're there. You can also email us at radiopetlady@gmail.com before any show. We're going to be here every Tuesday night forever and ever. And we're going to answer your question on the air, not tonight, but next week or the week after, whenever you email us. That's radiopetlady@gmail. Don't forget that if you write us at radiopetlady@gmail, you're going to get a free box full of freeze-dried protein treats from Whole Life Pet, good for cats and dogs, one of our new sponsors. We want to thank our sponsors, Waruva Pet Food, Precious Cat Litter, Nordic Naturals Omega-3 Fish Oil, and The Honest Kitchen, raw dehydrated pet food made in a human food facility. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Sean Messier, DVM PC, which is solely responsible for its content. Dr. Sean, the natural vet, here we are again. Can you believe it?
I know. It's hard to believe we've already had a week of a great show. And, you know, last week I was really surprised. We were scheduled for an hour. We went an hour and a half. So we had wonderful callers. And I'm looking forward to the same thing tonight.
Same here. And in the meantime, our wonderful webmaster has been able to get the podcast of the first show already up on our website. So if any of you guys are late to the party and you didn't have a chance to listen in last week, but you're like into it, you can go to radiopetlady.com. And on the landing page, you'll see the description of some of the questions that Dr. Sean and I answered last week. I learned so much. I can't tell you. It was so cool, Sean. I just loved it. I mean, we already know each other pretty well. We know how each other thinks. But it's wonderful when people have questions that challenge us and make us think. And it's really – it's a great feeling.
It was. And, you know, we started talking last week about heartworm disease. I don't know if we have time. We talked about maybe the beginning of this show recapping some of that. So if we can't do it at the beginning, somewhere along the way, we want to try to recap that for people that didn't get a chance to hear that discussion. Because that was a really good question we had.
That's a great idea. And I do want to follow up with it when we have a little lull in the calls later. The thing that's awesome about the podcast is that we now are going to have a library, Sean, that's going to go on and on and on. I have even more cool news for everybody. This is really kind of awesome. So Sean and I started this show because the Martha Stewart channel on Sirius XM went off the air live. Eventually it'll go off the air entirely, but there's no more live programming. And so that was it. We spent 7.5 years, both of us, connected to some of the most wonderful dog and cat owners and lovers imaginable. And we just wanted to continue to be in touch with you. We didn't know how much fun we'd have or how many of you would call in. And that number, by the way, is 888-627-6008. Call even while we're blabbing because you'll be on hold. We'll see you there and we're going to get to you. We have Melanie online. We're going to talk to her in just a second. So what we've done is by being able to podcast it, it's not like the newspaper that you wrap in the fish the next day, right? Or put your kitty litter in. It'll be there forever. It's like evergreen. It's always there. We weren't able to do that with Cat Chat and Dr. Sean, the natural vet, our shows on Sirius. Those aren't ours. These are ours. We own them, and we want to share them with you all the time. So, you know, you may catch a show tonight and maybe not next week, but you're never going to miss it. The thing that's coming very soon, I mean really soon, I'd say maybe by next week, Sean, and
you're
and
right
I are
down the road.
I know, is we're going to have our own network. We're going to have a live stream on this marvelous BBS radio. That
is it
means
the Dr. Sean Network?
I think it might be, yes. It's going to be our show, and it's going to be every single night of the week. It'll be live on Tuesday. It'll replay immediately afterwards, and then every night of the week it'll play and replay.
And then the rest
of the week is going to be dog talk and other stuff. But the cool thing is if Tuesday night's the night you play squash or your kid is in a basketball thing, you can – you know, listen to it the next night and the night after. So we're pretty excited about that. The other thing, those of you that are my Cat Chat listeners or even my NPR show Dog Talk, which still exists, I used to have it live. Anne Marie Sawicki, the animal communicator, who has spent the first night of the week with me for 7 years answering people's calls and pretty much crashed the phone lines at Sirius a couple of times. Anne Marie is going to be part of our show the first Tuesday of every month. That means February 5th. If you've never had an animal communicator talk to you, through your pets about them, you may think, oh, that's goofy. It may seem goofy at first, and I'm a real skeptic, but Sean, it is kind of goosebumpy. A lot of people have amazing experiences, and especially people whose pets have gone. Maybe they put them to sleep 20 years ago. Maybe they put them to sleep 8 months ago. And they get a kind of closure. I'm sure this must be a big issue for you, having to put pets to sleep or having the ability to put them to sleep to be out of their misery and knowing the emotional residue for people. It's very, very powerful, right?
Yeah, you know, and actually I'll talk to some clients that actually ask about, you know, are there specific therapists they can go to to deal with pet grief? And, of course, there are some that really focus on that. So I think as we're going through, and I'm doing this with a client right now who's having to kind of make a difficult decision about her older cat, Buckwheat, that we diagnosed, unfortunately, with a pancreatic tumor.
Wow.
And as we've been talking about this, I told her, you know, we can help support Buckwheat at home, kind of doing a home hospice care.
Yes.
And as long as Buckwheat feels good, is acting fine, we're okay with that. But as we're finding out, Buckwheat just isn't quite himself. It's hard for him to hold food down. He doesn't have much of an appetite. So I've told her, you know, you're going to know when it's time to let go, and I'm going to help you with that process. But you're right, Tracy. Sometimes it can be very emotional for people. Sometimes afterwards, friends and family may not understand it. They may take
the attitude,
well, it's just a dog, it's just a cat. Mm-hmm. No, it's really a family member, and we're all attached differently. And, you know, speaking about that, I was talking with my staff yesterday. We were talking about euthanasia since we had Buckwheat on our mind. And this is going to be very interesting, and it really kind of surprised a lot of people. But I've had to deal with pet death for many, many years as a veterinarian, including euthanasia sometimes of my own pets. I used to work in human medicine, so I've seen people dying in hospitals and emergency room when I worked with trauma. But the most grief I've ever seen, and it was amazing to me, we had a gay couple many, many years ago, these two guys. And they had a little rat, a pet rat, that they had to euthanize.
Gosh.
And I will tell you what, I have not seen nearly the grief these two guys had over this pet rat. They were in my office 45 minutes crying after I euthanized this rat. And I've never seen that with any other pet. Doesn't mean that grief doesn't exist with other pets.
Right.
Maybe they just didn't show it to me. But it really doesn't matter what kind of pet it is.
That's
if there's
right.
a bond there,
That's right.
there's real grief, and you go through the same process of grieving, whether it's a person or a pet.
And you know, it's you've put it really well. And at some point, I'd love it at some point, not tonight because we have so many calls already backed up, which is kind of awesome. It's a fantastic topic. And I'll tell you a fantastic topic. This is all about dogs and cats, but I am very interested in the relationship people have with pet rats because I remember Templeton from Charlotte's Web. And that's the only rat I've personally ever known, if you will. But I do know people who have pet rats, and I know they have a very short lifespan, so it's extremely wrenching. But the rats apparently – we have to talk about it another time, but I want you to tell me about that rat someday because they're apparently really affectionate and really smart, and they understand language, and they're just darling. And I have to tell you that rats personally kind of skeeve me out, but I have to get over that. I have to be a better person.
They're really, really great animals. They really
yeah,
are.
Yeah, apparently they and those guys. Here's what I'd like to offer to the lady with Buckwheat, and maybe someone in your staff or you could get in touch with her. One of the things that's of a great comfort to people when Anne Marie, the communicator, comes on, often people will call about pets that are in those last stages of life, and they don't know when is the time because everyone says you'll know the time, and then they think I don't know. Do I know the time? And Anne Marie is a very sensitive woman. She has a marvelous sense of humor, but she's very respectful. And she has been able for people to speak for the pet. And I don't know anything about psychic stuff. I mean, is it real? Is it fake? It's not for me to say. All I know is that she can give them feedback from their pet that puts them at ease about the decision and takes guilt away and takes some of the pain away. And it's really a wonderful thing. And sometimes it's just hilarious when, you know, they're sassy, saucy dogs and cats and she seems to channel their energy or their attitude or their way of talking. And it's just a hoot. People love it. So that's going to be the first Tuesday of every month. All right. So we know that. We must jump right on with Melanie's Sleepy Pod because I want her to explain Sleepy Pod to you. Melanie, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Sleepy. How are you?
We're great. You're in California. You're so nice you called early.
Yes, I just kind of blocked my time and to call in and say hello.
Well,
congratulations on your new show.
You're so sweet. I was explaining to Dr. Sean. Dr. Sean, I'd like you to meet Melanie. She and her partner, Mike and Greg, are three Pasadena design and art students, designers, engineers, who have gone to the real world and created these pet carriers called Sleepy Pods that make it safe to take the dog or cat in the car and in the airplane. There's different versions, but my main interest is they're so great of a way to help people get their pets, cats in particular, who detest carriers, into the vet's office. Do you find, Sean, that people are not bringing their cats to you because they're so freaked out about the whole get them in the carrier issue?
You know, I haven't seen that quite so much. Of course, we try to give them some natural tips, like putting some lavender oil in the carrier in the car before they come by, which makes a lot of sense. You know, the ones that I see are, and this tends to be cats more than dogs, where, as you mentioned, if they're really, really nervous and they get very sick along the way, or sometimes they don't want to bring them in because they get very aggressive in the office. And once again, we can control that with gas anesthesia for short sedation, et cetera. But I think anything we could do, whether it be some natural oil or herb, or like
feel away. How about feel away?
Feel away works
great
too.
Let's talk about where they can get the feel away. Now, Melanie, we're trying to get feel away to give wipes that go that come with every Sleepy Pod carrier that people buy, right?
I
they
think
can
that's
wipe,
a great idea.
Wipe down the inside of the carrier. I think I hooked you up with those people. I hope it's working.
Yes. Actually, when we designed this, before we designed it, because we couldn't really find anything, you know, on our mind, because we had a design training, everything, and also we're pet lovers, you know, and we just want to kind of solve the problems, you know. How can we combine our training and also our love to our pets and to improve both the pets and pet owners' life, you know? So that's why we came up with this idea, and now we want to first of all, that's a security and also comfort for pets at
what
home
would be
and
great
on the go, and then.
What would be great is I need to get some brochures to Sean, because I think that a lot of your clients, Sean, would bring their cats more readily into the clinic, or, you know, bring them with a clearer mind knowing that the cat, it's really cozy. It's also a bed. And I think, and I'm sure that there's also a way that you can sell them. I mean, not to just like hawk things, but it's not that easy to find a Sleepy Pod. They're pretty rare and special.
Yeah.
Ask the Cat Doctor has them online, but it would be great if you I'll talk to Melanie about that. It'd be great, Melanie, if we could get one to Dr. Sean, a Sleepy Pod. Looks like you have a kitty, right, Sean?
I've got two.
See, he's got two. So that'd be great.
Oh,
we'll hook you up, Sean, because when you see the Sleepy Pod, people are going to be really jealous, right, Melanie?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we got so many compliments, you know, from that clinics and also from our customers, and they're so proud of us just, you know, using our product, you know, to not show off, you know, to other people, but that's a practical for you yourself and for your pet.
Because,
you know,
the kitty's comfortable in there.
I know,
you brought your cat Roll to your vet, and your vet turned around and started selling them. Your vet was like so blown away by how cool it was. And your vet never sold a carrier before. That's not really normal. Sean, I think you're going to have the same experience. It's like, oh my God, a whole new, it's like reinventing the wheel. It's very cool. Melanie, thank you for your call.
Yeah.
You're so kind to call in. We send hugs and kisses to Roll in California.
Welcome.
It's very nice of you.
Sure,
and
definitely.
We'll try and do a contest on the show at some point so people could win a Sleepy Pod, because that would be kind of a big thrill. You know, we'll put everyone's name in the hat and pick it out in some cyberspace, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks definitely. A million for the call. Yeah, give a hug so and much. Kiss to Roll Roll. And I'm sure that Sean will be blown away when he sees the Sleepy Pod. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you for the call.
Have a good night.
Thank you very much, Sean and Tracy. Yeah. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Take care, sweetie. We have Diana on line 3. Now, this is really a treat. Diana, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk.
Hello. Hi, Tracy. Happy New Year, and congratulations on your new show.
You're so nice, Sean. This is the most marvelous woman. She does investigative consulting. I don't know her from Adam except for on the email, and she's never been able to talk to me before because she didn't have Sirius because she's a New Yorker. A lot of New Yorkers don't have, you know, satellite radio. Dr. Sean is the coolest vet. Do you have any questions about Romeo and Tiger for him? She has the most gorgeous little poodles, and they're just – they're handsome, and they're – and they look natural, you know? They don't look like pom-poms. They look like real natural guys.
No. Yeah, they're not little frou-frou guys, but they are they're good boys. I got them when they were 3 months old or 3 or 4 months old. They're 7 years old now, but to me, they're still puppies.
Yeah. To me, too. I remember when you got them. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Time goes quick. And I was calling to see if you could give me any advice or if there's anything that I should be doing differently with these two, these boys as they age. Should I be feeding them differently? Giving them any supplements or any special care as they age?
All right,
well,
how old are they now?
Sean's big on senior stuff.
I love the senior pets. How old are they now?
Tiger is 6 and Romeo is 7 years
old. All right, and do they have any obvious diseases, or are you keeping them in pretty good health?
They're very healthy. The only thing that I notice is their teeth. Their teeth get yellow and they get really blacky or tartary pretty quickly.
Yes.
And when I take them to the vet to get cleanings, and they tell me that I should not brush their teeth for 2 weeks after the cleaning. But then by the
Weeks, are they worried about the pain maybe from the dental cleaning?
Oh, you know, I don't know what the reason is.
Yeah, kind of find out. It could be from any tenderness or pain, although usually you can brush your teeth even within a day or two. Now, at our office, after we clean their teeth, we put a bonding gel on the teeth called Orivet, and you don't want to brush that off right away, but you could brush them within a week or so. But back to your question. Okay, so if you've listened to Tracy or listened to me before, you know that we're not really big on vaccines every year because dogs and cats don't need that. So as part of their regular care, if they were at my practice, what I'd be doing is once a year instead of their shots – we do a blood test called the titer test, which will measure their antibodies to prior vaccines they've had over their lives for distemper and parvo, and only vaccinate if those titers are low. Rabies, I follow state law, which basically is going to be every 3 years. And if a groomer or boarding facility makes you do Bordetella, and I usually don't do a lot of Bordetella, but if we have to do that for kennel cough, you can do the intranasal form. As far as supplements, there are two things that I use for all of our patients. 5 years of age and under, I use a little chewable treat called Vim and Vigor. And 5 years and older than five, I use Vim and Vigor plus a chewable treat called Collodin. Now, if you go to our radio show website, there's a link to my site right on there. It's called RadioPetLady.com. You'll see a nice little banner about our show, and scroll down a little bit, you'll see a link to my website. You can actually get some discounts on certain things on the website, but the Collodin and the Vim and Vigor or on my website under the link that says recommended supplements. Then my own little store has my own products I've developed. But these are two that I use for everybody. Then if your pets have problems as they get older or you want to do some bathing or grooming, you can look at the Dr. Sean store on the Radio Cat Chat Lady link and find some things there. So spend some time at both websites and kind of get familiar with them.
Diana, his website is really cool. It's called Pet Care Naturally, but you have to go to RadioPetLady.com to click on it so you get the discount code. And we're going to build it up even more, but the whole idea of supplements for seniors is really important. You're using omega-3 fish oil, right? Nordic Naturals?
Yes, I am.
Good.
Okay, so that's like vitally important.
Yes.
Both Sean and I are big believers. I just want to say it's very cool. Very, very cool to have you calling in on the show. And I didn't say something else at the top of the show. It's amazing to meet you after all these years. You've sent me so many emails and you've got so many friends, to my dog Bible and stuff.
I love you.
Well, I love you back. You're so wonderful. I'm going to be sending you.
I tell everybody about you.
I know you do, and that's why I love you. And here's what you're going to get. I forgot to tell everybody because on social media it said that a dog collar, one of the dog callers, not collar, but caller of the night, is going to get a prize. And it's going to be Diana, and it's a limited edition mini. It's a little mini leash, and it's a bookmark for the dog Bible, but it's made like a little mini leash. It's the cutest thing you ever saw. You have to write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com and send me your mailing address, and you get Whole Life Pet Treats, and you're going to get the dog prize for the night, okay?
Thank you.
Gives you bragging rights. It's very tiny. I mean, I don't think you could really put even Tiger or Romeo on it. It's like 3 inches long, but I think you'll really enjoy it, and we're really thrilled you called.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Tracy. You too.
You take care, darling. We're looking forward to you sending more of your friends here because we love people to call in with all sorts of questions. So yours is a health question, and those are the ones that Sean especially loves because he's all about wellness. Thank you so much.
Cool.
Have a great night, sweetie. We're going to take a quick break from some of our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with Jessica. Support for Cat Chat and Dog Talk comes from Nordic Naturals and their Nordic Pet Collection, which was developed to provide your dog or cat with the same premium quality omega-3 nutrition as their human products. Research has shown that even the best pet diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses only sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks for their omega-3 products. Third-party testing is used to guarantee purity and freshness, and all oils surpass strict international standards for omega-3 fish oil quality. Nordic Natural Omega Pet products are available at nordicnaturals.com and at petflow.com. Support for Dog Talk comes from Woruva, food for cats and little dogs made in a facility that makes people food, which means the ingredients are good enough for people to eat. Woruva does not make any dry food because they know that true health for cats, who are obligate carnivores, means they should eat only meat. All varieties of Woruva and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brand, are available at PetFlow.com, which is also a supporter of this program, with special offers on my website, RadioPetLady.com. Support for Dog Talk comes from Precious Cat, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory relief litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family too. Support for Dog Talk also comes from PetFlow.com, which carries all the Precious Cat litters with special offers on my website, RadioPetLady.com. And wondering, what is this? This is internet radio, and we're really proud to be part of the future, aren't we, Sean? We're going to be... We're just moving forward, guys. We figure everyone listens on devices. The computer is what's in the middle of everybody's house, in the middle of everybody's, you know, purse in their pocket. So we're thrilled to be here, and we're thrilled you're listening. Here's the number to call us. Any question at all you have about your dogs and cats, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And the dog prize for the night has gone to Diana, but we still have a kitty prize. So who knows who that person will be? It might be you. Any question at all. You could also just call to say hi, and you're kind of thrilled you stumbled on us. I'm sure you came here on purpose at this point. So we're going to say hi to Jessica on line four. Jessica, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Hello there. We are great. Well, how are you? What's going on in your pet life?
I'm good. I had called into Dog Talk a couple weeks ago about my three boys, Bailey, Charlie, and Felix. And so I was giving you a call. I was trying to call last week, but it didn't work out because I was so sick. But we've been using the anxiety wrap and the adaptal collars to help with their separation anxiety. And I got to tell you, it's working really well.
Oh yes, I have to explain you to. That's some good English I got working there. I have to explain to Sean who Jessica is. She actually taped a show of Dog Talk with me. Those of you that aren't familiar with my show on NPR Dog Talk, it's live in the Hamptons and in the Berkshires and in Litchfield County on Saturdays and Sundays. But it's podcast, and that's how most people listen to it off of iTunes. And it's going to be on our radio network. All 300 shows are going to rotate through. So if you never caught it before, you're going to catch it now. Jessica is a biochemist, and she's getting a graduate degree and eventually wants to go into research, particularly stem cell, which is how each other.
Yes.
Yeah, really, really cool. This is how I met her on through email, and then I invited her on as a guest. She had a dog. They moved to Richmond, Virginia, and one of her dogs was having severe separation anxiety. Uh-huh. So what's nice for everyone who's hearing this, and I want Jessica to explain the before and after of this dog and the other dogs, is that she has the Adaptil collar and the anxiety wrap, and Dr. Sean now sells the Adaptil collars. They come in different sizes, and if you have a dog with any kind of emotional issues, right, Jessica, it's not just separation. It's just like an intensely emotional dog who just can't get his act, just can't get over himself. Dr. Sean sells the Adaptil collars on his website and the Adaptil spray and the Adaptil diffuser, as well as the feel away for the kitties. So you go to radiopetlady.com. You'll see the link to Dr. Sean's store and the secret code to get the big fat 10% discount. Jessica, talk for a sec about how using the anxiety wrap and the Adaptil collar together and the diffuser seems to have really made a difference for your pooch.
Oh, yeah. So we originally started out with just the anxiety wrap, and it kind of helped. But when we – and let me explain. When we first moved up here and kind of had that big change for everybody, I was coming home to a dog that was extremely stressed out. We had to kennel him because he would just destroy everything in sight. And then – so we kind of did multiple changes to kind of rectify the situation. We put in a baby gate so that he could have a doggy-proof room. We got the anxiety wrap on him. And at that point, he was starting to calm down a lot, but the final kind of calming change that we got was when we put the collars on, because we had the diffuser, but it was a store-bought one. It wasn't Adaptil. And so it hadn't really... The diffuser that we bought from, I don't know if I can say what store.
Yeah, you
it was
can
from.
Say it. Sure, Petco or PetSmart or somewhere, right?
Yeah, it was from Petco, and it was whatever. I forgot what brand it was, but it wasn't Adaptil. And so it kind of helped. You could tell that there were the pheromones in there because they would sit there and they would sniff it and lick around it. They knew what it was. It was kind of adorable, but it didn't have as much of a calming effect as the collars did. And the wonderful thing that I love about the collars is it goes with them. So I don't have to, before I was taking that diffuser and plug it in room to room, because I mean, you know, they're kind of expensive. So
yeah,
you can't,
that's funny.
You know, so I was like bringing it with us because I'll be working in the office for a little bit and then go in the living room.
That's hilarious.
But I mean, it really was that combination. I actually had a question for you guys.
All right.
If that's okay. Kind of a nutrition question. So our German short-haired pointer, he's turning 3. I am having a hard time keeping weight on him, which I know most people kind of have the opposite problem.
Right.
But, I mean, I've got him on a really what I would consider very high quality food, and it's half kibble, half wet food. But I'm wondering, what else can I do? Because, I mean, I look at him, and I was a vet tech, and I can tell that he's, I think, not quite, he needs a little more meat on him. But
okay, well, that's a really good question. I want to clear up one thing about the Adaptil diffuser. Yeah. It's important to know. The ones that are made by the company that makes the Adaptil and Feel-Away can only be sold by vets, which is why Dr. Sean is carrying it. The ones that are sold in pet stores have a little bit of that proprietary ingredient. They've bought the right to put it in their diffuser or in their collar, but it's a microscopic amount by comparison. So the difference you saw was enormous. So when we're talking about using pheromone spray collar, well, they're not even allowed to sell a collar in the pet store. It can only be sold by a vet. But the spray and the diffuser, do not be spending your money on a product that's not really going to have the punch of what Dr. Sean can sell. So anyone who has an anxiety kind of laden dog, including in the car, including anywhere, because the collar stays on, you need to buy the real deal, which comes from directly from the vet. Now, your own vet may carry it, but most don't, which is why Sean has really gone out of his way for our listeners. So you go to RadioPetLady.com and click on Dr. Sean's store and get that little nice little discount. I'll say one thing about the nutrition, and then I'm curious. What I love about this show, Sean, is that I know I have my thoughts and ideas, and it'll be interesting to see our differences.
Sure.
I know from having a lot of email with Jessica and having interviewed her twice on Dog Talk, she's super smart. She was a vet tech. She's a biochemist. I know that she's serving really good quality food. So it's not like we have to find out if she bought something in the supermarket that she thinks was good. She's serving the good stuff. My knee-jerk reaction is all of our dogs are grossly overweight, even the ones that are not called fat. So if you can see your dog's ribs, I mean, if you can see the hip bones, that's a problem. But if you can see a little bit of spine, a little bit of ribs, that's actually, I believe, I don't practice what I believe, what all of our dogs should look like. And my older dog weighed 129 pounds when he went in for his second ACL surgery. And the surgeon said to me, "This dog is overweight." I said, "What do you mean? He's huge. He's so tall. He's so big." He grabbed a bunch of skin, which was actually fat, over his withers, over the top of his shoulders. And he said, "This is all fat and it's got to go." And by putting him on basically an Honest Kitchen diet, which is not what I'm saying you need to do, he lost 30 pounds. He went down to 99 pounds. I can see his ribs. So my thought is what looks like too skinny to us is actually what dogs should really look like. And all of us overfeed, and you know, I mean, that's just my feeling about it, and I'm as guilty as the next guy. Sean, what do you think about a quote unquote underweight dog?
You know, I totally agree with both of you, Tracy. I see so many pets that are overweight, and it is really hard to get some of these pets to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not always easy to get pets to gain weight, but it usually is easier to gain weight than to lose weight. Additionally, you mentioned your dog with the ACL. I see so many pets with joint problems like ACL injuries or arthritis. Yep. And if you read any even conventional textbook in veterinary medicine, forget the holistic stuff right now.
Yes.
Even the conventional stuff will tell you the most important thing you do for pets with arthritis is they lose weight. So if they're a little bit underweight, I think it's easier. You can certainly save money on food and on medications for them. Surgery's easier. And I think they tend to be a little bit healthier. So, you know, one of the things I learned a long time ago is that fat pets and fat people aren't born that way. We make ourselves that
yes.
way. We make our pets
well
that
said.
Way. So
well
we can
said.
Also prevent that. And we don't want to do what's called killing our pets with kindness, thinking they always need high-fat treats because they give us those sad eyes when they want some food. Well, we don't want to kill them with kindness. We really want them to live as long as possible, to be as healthy as possible. The other thing that's interesting is, you know, Tracy, my wife was diagnosed with early stage breast cancer a couple of years ago.
Yes.
She's doing great. I did a lot of research on this.
You but also wrote a wonderful book, Sean, When People
oh,
Go
you.
To Pet Care Naturally. He wrote a marvelous book. I mean, it's wonderful for anyone who's facing that challenge individually or as a couple. So I just want to say it's a wonderful
Good.
Book and it's there. So go ahead.
Well, thank
and
you
he's
for
also
your
written like eight other books, The Natural, Everything Bible and Healing and it,
All
marvelous
right, so much
books.
Stuff. I write almost as much as you. We both write a lot.
Well, you've got some great books there, so people should check them out. If you have the Dog and Cat Bible already, you need to get Dr. Sean's books. Do go on.
But here's my point. I'm glad you brought up the book. It's called Breast Choices for the Best Chances. And it talks about, for breast cancer for women, how to minimize your chance of it and also how to use nutritional and natural support while you're maybe going through chemotherapy, if you choose that therapy, et cetera. So a lot of good stuff in there. But one of the things I learned, and this is actually probably – it's going to sound new to a lot of people, certainly new to a lot of conventional doctors. But if you've been following the holistic literature, especially in human medicine for about the last 10 or so years, one of the things we've learned about fat cells and fat is that fat is not just simply something cosmetic. Fat is actually functioning as a hormone. And fat can make a lot
yes.
of bad hormones, like bad estrogen, which can lead to breast cancer. But also overweight people and pets, because of the way fat works, fat can cause inflammatory chemicals to develop. So overweight people and pets tend to have more chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation is the cause of every disease we know about, with the exception, obviously, of infectious diseases. So cancer,
right.
arthritis, joint disease, all comes about from inflammation. If your pet or yourself are overweight, you're adding to the inflammation, which means you're predisposing the body to inflammation and disease. So we really want to keep our weight under control. And I think, like you said, keeping pets underweight slightly is fine. I know you and I both see very old cats and old dogs that look almost skeletal.
Yes.
But that's kind of normal when they get that age. And they're okay as long as they're feeling good. I don't really care what they look like. I care how they feel.
So, Jessica, you didn't expect this big earful, but, you know, it's a very kind of interesting topic, and I'm really grateful to you for bringing it up, because if you spend any time abroad in Europe, let's call it France, England, Italy, the dogs are thin. Their ribs show. Their bones show. I'm not talking about street dogs. I'm talking about owned dogs.
Pet dogs, yeah.
Pet dogs. Now, one of the sad problems there is there's zero neutering. Zero. Not in England, but in France and Italy. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really bad. I mean, I don't even want to tell you how they deal with population control. Have you ever heard of drowning?
Oh,
it's
I
really
think
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's so depressing because these are educated, intelligent people that unfortunately are just dopey in this department.
Yeah, they're not too intelligent with that, are they?
No, they're certainly not. But the dogs look really thin. Now, when I used to take my Golden Retriever and my Cocker Spaniel to Italy, kind of roly-poly. Now, nobody would say they were fat. But they sure looked fat compared to all those Italian dogs. And I did not do anything about it. Now, my Golden died of pancreatitis. I don't think I caused it. I don't think it's because she could have lost 20 pounds. But it probably didn't help. I would love you to not worry so much about him. And he's youngish. He's not an older dog. Are his hip bones actually sticking out?
Well, and that's what concerns me. I can see the tiny little protrusions. I wouldn't say that they're like, he doesn't look like a famished animal, but they're tiny little pumps, you know,
all
where
I
you
can
know
tell
his
you is,
hip bones are.
All I can tell you is I wish I had his problem. I'm sure Sean's wife and you wish we had that problem because the rest of us have to be on family holdback. I mean, both of my wives, even young Teddy, if I gave him the amount of halo kibble that he wanted and even the amount of the Honest Kitchen that he wanted, including the added fresh vegetables and the meat or cottage cheese or scrambled eggs I put in there, they would balloon. I have to – there's a lot of sad eyes in my house, Sean, and I'm just like the tough matron because it was so hard to get that weight off, 31 pounds.
Yes.
It creeps back up so easily. Be grateful you don't have that problem. You have a good problem.
Yeah,
is how
absolutely.
A good problem. And, you know, if he's got a nice shine to his coat and you've got him on the full amount of Nordic Naturals, so he's got all that nice inflammatory stuff going, lucky boy. He's a lucky boy. And you've already gotten your whole life pet treats, and I'm sure he ate right through them. And they're completely protein, so they certainly wouldn't put any weight on him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got the metabolism of a racehorse, I swear.
Yep.
See, that's why they're going to stay thin, too. I'm the same way. I have a high metabolism, and gaining weight for me is just about impossible.
Oh, we hate you.
I know.
Sean,
everybody's
that's why I said. That's why I said Sean's wife and Jessica and I are jealous. We know Sean isn't. You guys have it easier. Jessica,
yeah, but you're slim, Tracy. I've seen you.
I'm slim. You're a doll to say that, and nobody would ever call me fat, and I play competitive tennis 7 days a week. But
absolutely.
I'm not sitting down and eating a whole bunch
of
cupcakes
either. That's
true. You're
taking good care of, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it has to do with that. I mean, if I need a snack, I could eat a whole life pet treat too, given that they're huge. Jessica, thank you for the call. Thank you for reminding us about Adaptil, and I'm hoping that Sean and I, at some point, once the calls calm down, we'll be able to talk a little bit about the value of having that collar right on the dog's neck 30 days at a time. It really makes a gigantic difference. And the gals at Anxiety Wrap, one of the developers of it is a 30-year dog trainer. They really walked you through it. I mean, they helped you with behavior modification and changing the way you handled the dog and the household, right? I mean, it was a multi-tiered way of – yeah.
Yeah, they held my hand through it. I couldn't have done it without them. They're amazing. I am so grateful for them.
Well, I'm just really thrilled to hear that. It makes me happy to know that the companies that I believe in and support, and they may become a supporter of this show too, especially after this conversation. It's just great to know that they're there for people, because when you have a dog eating through the furniture or, you know, getting his bloody paws trying to scratch out of the house or peeing and pooing out of anxiety, that's a pretty miserable lifestyle, you know? So a little pheromone and a little the little continual hug of the anxiety wrap, and you're good to go. Jessica, thanks for the call, sweetie. I'm glad you're feeling better. Stay in touch with us. Call back anytime with any questions or comments.
Thank you, Jessica. Have a good
night. We want you to be part of our show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Right on with Stacy after we take this quick break. This quick break will be me. Sean can take large gulps of his lovely tea or coffee. I'm going to tell you that support for Cat Chat and Dog Talk comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned producer of 100% human-grade pet foods that are gently dehydrated into healthy gourmet recipes that are irresistibly tasty even for the fussiest pups. Just add warm water to the dry mix to create a fresh, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Use as the sole diet, as a whole food topping for kibble, or as a base for your own homemade meals. The Honest Kitchen's products are endorsed and used by veterinarians for their own pets and are formulated to meet the AAFCO nutrient profiles. For more information, free samples, and a free consultation, look for The Honest Kitchen at RadioPetLady.com. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is brought to you with the support of Goo Silver, a holistic supplement for senior canines developed by veterinarian Dr. Kristen Holm, designed to help aging dogs maintain their mental sharpness and physical well-being. Goo Silver is a peanut butter-based lickable product with all natural ingredients that enter the dog's bloodstream through the membranes in his mouth and his intestinal tract lining. It's a broad-spectrum canine supplement that addresses the special needs of your aging dog's mental state, anti-inflammatory ingredients for joint discomfort from arthritis, and antioxidants for his immune system. Visit GooSilver.com for more information. I want to introduce everyone to Whole Life Pet, an amazing family-owned company that makes single-ingredient, grain-free, all-natural, freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs. They use only human-grade, antibiotic-free proteins that are sustainably grown and harvested and never use additives, chemicals, or preservatives. Whole Life Pet personally knows the providers of all their ingredients, a concept they call farm-to-friend. Companies that supply the human food market with ingredients proudly sourced only in the USA. Whole Life Pet makes small batches of treats by hand in their state-of-the-art freeze-drying machines at their location in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, using one pure protein, poultry, meat, fish, and cheese. All their products are sourced, produced, and packaged in the United States, assuring quality and safety, along with support for the American economy. Send your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com for a free box of Whole Life Pet samples. And Dr. Sean, you're going to soon have some of those samples to offer to the folks in your clinic, too, which will make them love you even more than
really
they already do.
Everybody likes free stuff, and we got free,
free good stuff, even better. Yes, it's not like Ready Whip. Well, we have another call, and I have to keep reminding people of the number because you might be listening and then thinking, how do we get in on the fun? The number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We are eager to hear from you. Stacy on line three, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk.
Hi, Tracy. I actually emailed you about my three kitties.
Yes.
I have, three cats. One's a rag doll and two rescue kitties. And I've got a couple of questions, and I don't know if you have time to go through all of them.
All we've got is time. We have decided to make this 2 hours because otherwise, Sean and I, we like to explain things in detail. And otherwise, we feel like we have a gun to our head. And it's just a joy to have a whole 2 hours where we can really talk to people and the other people listening will learn as you ask. So what we give you, we give each other, and we give to everybody else at the same time. So it's just like a big circle of love. So tell us about your three kitties. I know you're in Kentucky. You wrote me an email. Sure, I've never talked to you or met you before, so I'm absolutely thrilled to. But you said, I'm having trouble with my girls. And I said, call us. Call us, because the other thing is that everybody who calls in tonight who would like a free container of precious cat litter, Cat Attract litter, just write me at radiopetlady@gmail.com. That's you too, Stacy. And I'm going to send you that coupon in the mail. It's good for up to $20 worth of Cat Attract litter. We really want to thank everyone who's calling because it's a new show. We appreciate you trying to find us, and we're loving our time with you. So tell us about your kitties and what's going on with those little rascals.
Okay, well, the first kitty is Wrigley, and he's the rag doll, and he is 4 years old, and he's the oldest. He is not a very typical rag doll. He doesn't have that typical behavior. He doesn't like to be touched. He is, he acts like a little puppy, you know, he'll follow us around and, you know, he wants to be near you at all times, but he just doesn't, like to be, you know, held or even, you know, petted and that's fine. You know, that's kind of in his nature and that's okay. When we initially got him, he was an only kitty and he has a liking to urinate on blankets and towels. So we have tried everything in the book and obviously first and foremost, we took him to the vet and everything is cleared. Health-wise, there's no problems. Yeah. And we have, fear-related diffusers everywhere. We have them all over the place. Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have them. And we even have the spray everywhere. We started him out with feline pine, which is what the breeder had him on. And, you know, we switched it up. We tried different kinds. We tried the cedar and the clumping and the non-clumping and different levels and different types of litter boxes. And it, finally, the vet had given us a prescription for Prozac. And
Sean and I, our hair is standing up on top of our heads. We are in line with the idea of tranquilizing a cat who has some behavior problems. And in your email, which I have here printed out, was very long and very detailed and very thoughtful. Elvis, right? Is he Elvis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no,
that's
this is Wrigley.
Wrigley. That's Wrigley.
Elvis, they want to put on Prozac too. Wow. For one thing, mm-hmm. I would say, and I think that Sean would agree with this, given, I don't know what the other cats you're going to tell us about, but given the complexity of this cat's emotional issues, and they are emotional, this cat's not happy. And my guess is you brought in the two rescue cats after you started with Wrigley, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't he's not real happy about that decision on your part. I'm not saying the other guys have to leave. It's a little late in the day for that. But you need to go to a feline-only vet. I really recommend, I know you're in Kentucky. I don't know. You go to my website, radiopetlady.com. There's a link on there, if you take your time and scroll around, to the AAFP, the American Association of Feline Practitioners. You need a vet who has identified themselves as being really hyper-focused on cats so that they can help you to not think in terms of medication. It really is a lifestyle change. Now, this cat's really unhappy, and all this marking on the blankets and so forth and so on is a commentary about the two other rescues. He's already a very aloof cat. He's not a touchy-feely cat, and I appreciate the fact that you say it's his nature, because usually ragdolls are love bugs. People go out of their way.
Yeah, I've got a ragdoll myself. They're great.
That's right. Sean is like the king of ragdolls. He has a gorgeous ragdoll. People who have them are nuts for them because of that cuddly love bug thing. So it's a little heartbreaking that, you know, you went out of your way to get a ragdoll and he's like, leave me alone. So was he like that before you added the two rescue kitties? Was he always that aloof?
Yeah.
And that? Okay. So
And I was going to say the urinating on the blankets in the house started way before we rescued the other two as well.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, if it was a car, we'd say you have a lemon. And I'm not saying you don't love Wrigley, but let's be totally honest. It is very, very difficult for someone to live with a cat that's creating this kind of demands on you. And I just want to put it out there that I admire you for all the efforts you're making, and we want to support you. But I do need to say, like, someone who's got a kid who, you know, you can't send them to preschool unless they have a monitor with them. You know, this is a difficult cat. So you're already doing a lot and, you know, it's not really quote unquote solving the problem. I don't know how big your house is. If you could give him a separate space, this seems to me like a cat who really needs to be a loner and needs to be given some private space for some period of time where he can just chill out. In addition, don't forget February 5th. I know it sounds wackadoo, but I really recommend you call in that night and talk to the animal communicator. See what Wrigley will say to her or connect you. There may be some little psychic piece to this that may help or may make a difference. You're going to get the cat attract litter. In terms of using the litter box religiously, they use it all over the place to fix cats who have gone out of the litter box, because once you're out, it's hard to get back in. I strongly recommend against any sort of litter that is made of natural products, because they have odors, whether it's corn, whether it's pine. The natural odor of that organic material can be very off-putting to cats. All the precious cat litters are, most of them are man-made, and they trap the moisture inside of the crystals, and the cat attract has herbs that attract the cat into the box, and they're extremely healthy in terms of bacteria. I think Wrigley needs space alone. I would also say to get a Necco Flies toy. I don't know if you ever heard me on Cat Chat or on Dog Talk, but it's the official cat toy of the show. And AskTheCatDoctor.com, wonderful, wonderful lady, a feline-only vet, who, by the way, Sean, wants to come on the show to ask you questions. Isn't that darling?
Oh, I'd love to meet her.
You're
going
to love Shelby. She's a doll, and she said, oh, my God, I know who Sean Messonnier is. I like his books. I don't have any colleagues that are you know, holistic vets.
Sure.
She used to have a feline-only practice in Philadelphia, her own clinic like you do.
Yes.
And as you can well understand, it like wore her out. So she now does 2 days a week of house calls only for kitties, and then has this very thriving online business. So she wants to confer with you about some of her clients. But
sure, I'd love to talk with her.
She's really great. And Stacy, she sells Necco Flies, which is an incredible wand toy that is a really good way. It's one of the most beautifully designed and most lifelike, the way the critters that it has, interchangeable critters that go on the bottom of the fishing line. And it's a plexiglass, beautiful wand. It's a really great way with aloof cats to give them a way to interact with you and even to bond with you without being touched. So my first suggestion about Wrigley is that he needs time out. He needs a timeout from these other cats, maybe from everybody. If you can give him a space of his own with a litter box with cat attract in it, a nice cat tree, maybe put on Animal Planet on TV. Some of these aloof cats like to watch animals on television. I know it sounds nutty, but they do. And play with him two or three times a day with the Necco Flies toy. That might be a way to overcome some of this. If you want to hold for just a sec, because we're trying to be like all grown up and do our ads, being a new show, we're just getting the feel of this. I have to read our next ads and then come back and finish with your other kitties. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Terrific. Okay. So here we are. Here are our nice other little break of our sponsors, to whom we are extremely, extremely appreciative. Support for Cat Chat and Dog Talk comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned producer of 100% human-grade pet foods that are gently dehydrated into healthy gourmet recipes that are irresistibly tasty even for the fussiest pups. Just add warm water to the dry mix to create a fresh, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Uses the Soul Diet as a whole food topping for kibble or as a base for your own homemade meals. The Honest Kitchen's products are endorsed and used by veterinarians for their own pets and are formulated to meet the AAFCO nutrient profiles. For more information and free samples, look for The Honest Kitchen on RadioPetLady.com. You can find many of the supplements Dr. Sean mentions on the show in his online store at PetCareNaturally.com, along with Feel Away for cats and adaptable diffusers and collars for dogs. Dr. Sean has his own veterinary clinic in Plano, Texas, where he practices integrative holistic medicine. He can also consult with your own vet to help you integrate alternative medicine into your pet's care. He has personally developed a number of healthy natural products for his patients, like itch relief shampoo, all natural herbal ear wash, olive leaf plus, and CI support, which are supplements to support the immune system for pets with cancers and immune diseases. Go to RadioPetLady.com to get the 10% off secret code for Dr. Sean's store at PetCareNaturally.com and take advantage of monthly specials. I want to introduce everyone to Whole Life Pet, the amazing family-owned company that makes single-ingredient, grain-free, all-natural, freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs. They use only human-grade, antibiotic-free proteins that are sustainably grown and harvested and never use additives, chemicals, or preservatives. All their products are sourced, produced, and packaged in the United States, assuring quality and safety, along with support for the American economy, Send your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com for a free box of Whole Life Pet samples, and that goes for everyone who's listening. I also want to say, if everyone is aware of the problem with all of these Chinese chicken products, chicken jerky and so forth, that pets have been getting sick and dying from, I've been saying for years, I'm sure Sean agrees, you may not, cannot, should not buy anything that goes in your mouth or in your pet's mouth from China, because our FDA is not allowed to inspect and there is no oversight. So all American, all the way is what we have to do about that. Okay, Stacy, one more quick question, because we have Linda waiting as well. You have the other two kitties to talk about. Oh, I know what you wanted to know about. You said you were worried about, you've been giving your cats human tuna for their afternoon treat, and you're worried about the mercury. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should be worried about the mercury, and it's not okay to give cats human tuna. And what you need to do is give either a Whole Life Pet treat. You'll get the samples. You'll see how cool they are. You can break little pieces off. So if they need a little treat, that's fine. You can use any protein in your fridge. Little piece of Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins, who was the official vet of Cat Chat and is a great gal who had her own feline-only practice and is a nutrition goddess. She has ossicats. She breeds champion ossicats. She'll often fry up little pieces of steak for them. If they're making steak, she'll put a little aside and cook up little pieces for them. Tiny pieces of cheese, little pieces of lunch meat, even any kind of protein. Certainly any leftover fish or chicken that you have, cut little pieces and give them that. So does that answer that question?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Good. No human tuna, as we all also know, and Sean has a daughter. We are not supposed to be ourselves or our children having tuna fish more than 3 times a week. And we got a much bigger body than little kitties. You know, I mean, there is mercury and other heavy metals in large-bodied fish, so we want to avoid it. And the Waruva foods, which are the marvelous, marvelous canned foods made in a human food facility, the tuna they use is called skipjack tuna. It's a very different fish than the big tuna. So the fish in there does not have this heavy metal problem. So one more quick question. It's really about the Prozac. Sean, do you have anything you can recommend in addition to the Feel Away that's a natural product that could be relieving of stress and tension for cats?
Well, you know, one thing we talked about at the beginning of this show was something like Rescue Remedy, which is fine. That's a flower essence. It's not super strong.
Right.
I think it works okay. I have finally, as Tracy has been encouraging me, to put some more products on our website so we can have some things. So if you go to the website, there is a little treat called Stress Away that's useful for dogs and cats with any sort of mild anxiety. Now, here's the one thing I tell all of my clients and all of our listeners when it comes to treating cats. Not every cat likes to be treated. In other words, they don't always like the flavorful treats. But my approach in practice and on our show is I want to make treating your pets as easy for you as possible. So whenever I can, I try to get flavorful treats that most patients will like. So I think it's certainly worth a try. My dog loves these treats. She gets them at night. My two cats usually like the treats, and I'll give them to them simply as treats, even though they don't have stress. So I think the Feel Away is an excellent idea that Tracy gave. The Stress Away treats, once again, Radio Cat Chat Lady, you can find it there. And start with those things. The Prozac, if the cat's on it, I wouldn't stop overnight. I'd try to wean the cat off. But I think so often doctors are just so quick to go to these drugs, and granted, they don't know about natural therapy, so they don't have another choice. But the drugs really, really are only supposed to be used for short term while you're trying to retrain the cat or the dog to do its normal behavior to get away from the objectionable behavior. So Feel Away is fine. The Stress Away treats are also fine. Very, very safe. No real problems with that whatsoever. Once again, you can get to my website through radiopetlady.com and see the link to the site and look at a bunch of different products as well. But the Stress Away treats, I think, would be really, really good to try.
That'd be great. And you're going to put more and more things up on that online store, because a lot of the things you have, people don't have access to otherwise. That's great. Thank you so much for the call, Linda. We're going to go to our other break, and then we're going to be at the top of the hour and on the downside of the lovely slope that we've climbed up. Loving your calls. We have a whole nother hour, so anyone listening, can call us, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Sean and I are right here, and we're going to be right back after this break. Support for Cat Chat and Dog Talk comes from Nordic Naturals and their Nordic Pet Collection, which was developed to provide your dog or cat with the same premium quality omega-3 nutrition as their human products. Research has shown that even the best pet diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses only sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks for their omega-3 products. Third-party testing is used to guarantee purity and freshness, and all oils surpass strict international standards for omega-3 fish oil quality. Nordic Natural Omega Pet products are available at nordicnaturals.com and at petflow.com. Support for Dog Talk comes from Woruva, food for cats and little dogs made in a facility that makes people food, which means the ingredients are good enough for people to eat. Woruva does not make any dry food because they know that true health for cats, who are obligate carnivores, means they should eat only meat. All varieties of Woruva and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brand, are available at PetFlow.com, which is also a supporter of this program, with special offers on my website, RadioPetLady.com. Support for Dog Talk comes from Precious Cat, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory relief litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. Support for Dog Talk also comes from PetFlow.com, which carries all the Precious Cat litters with special offers on my website, RadioPetLady.com. I just want to say that Stacy is going to win the cat prize. So, Stacy,
yay,
because you know what? She's really hung in there. I mean, that's a
lot
to deal with. And
behavior problems are tough.
They're tough, Sean. And then you go to the vet, and then they do the pee test, and you run up this big bill. And then what? So, Stacy, you write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com, and you're going to get right away in the mail a coupon for up to $20 worth of a big container of Precious Cat Catatrack litter, which will help with some of those problems. Although, obviously, there's a lot of things on that kitty's mind. I just want to read the little end of a charming, charming email that I got today, Sean. It's just so lovely. A wonderful listener, Martha, who, and I'm not going to say last names because we're supposed to protect privacy.
Okay, good.
And right next to her name, she says, a loyal listener. She was a great Cat Chat listener. A number of people have written and said, what happened? Where is it? And it's like, don't worry, guys. We're right here. So if you've caught on to us a little late, it's Dr. Sean, the natural vet, and Tracy Hotchner from Cat Chat, and also Dog Talk and Kitties Too on NPR. And we're just thrilled to be here. She made a wonderful description of all of these kitties. Everyone that wanders in, she gets them spayed and neutered, and she gets them vaccinated, and she's just darling. She said, so thank you for your help through your radio show and your great books, The Dog and Cat Bible. Our previous dog ate the cover off the dog Bible, laugh out loud, and I've given a great number of your books to friends who also have many cats and some dogs. I'll try to get your program on my phone, as I love that time I have listening to you. Take care and keep up the good work. So I just want to say to Martha, it is really a privilege and honor and a pleasure, and I'm having more fun than I ever would have expected to have this time with Dr. Sean, who works so hard every day and running a clinic, owning a clinic, you know, juggling all the animals that have appointments and emergencies. And Sean, that you can take the time to be there for people across the country with your very special knowledge of holistic medicine. And it's really just a real gift to everybody. I think we're all...
I appreciate it. And, you know, I really, even though we've only done this show for a week and now this is our second week, this is really probably more fun than we had doing our show at Sirius by ourselves.
It is. It's much more fun because, first of all, there's a sort of sense of needle in a haystack. I mean, people have found us despite all odds, right? I mean,
and very quickly, too. That's great.
Very quickly, which is really cool. And this is the beauty of all the sort of interactive ways that people can connect between email and internet. And there's, we have a lot of marvelous partners that are getting the word out for us and very grateful to them, from Cat Tipper and Dog Tipper and Catster and Dogster. We got to figure out a way to let them know, because there's some great dog and cat lovers that spend time on Dogster and Catster checking things out. But there's a lot of wonderful people and companies that are just with their friends. And oh, Patricia, do you remember last week there was a gal who called in and she'd gathered some of her friends? They all go dog walking together in El Dorado
Hills
in California. Well, I just want to tell you what I decided to do for Patricia.
Okay.
She had what I called a pooch party. Of course, it could be a kitty party if, you know, if it was someone that was all about cats. She herself is a cat owner but goes on all these dog walks with her friends. So mm-hmm. I wrote her back and I said, send me the email addresses of your friends so that I can send them the offer, if they send me their mailing address, to get Whole Life Pet Treats. And I want them to listen to the show and I want them to call in and I want to know what their problems are. You know, she gathered up everybody's name and everybody's email address. So here's what's going out tomorrow to Patricia in El Dorado Hills. And I hope you guys are listening tonight. She's going to get one of the very last baseball caps that has the Cat Chat logo on it, embroidered on the front. And that's
that
like, it was a very special thing I had made. And I think you and I may make some really cool caps for this show too. And use them as little incentives for people that are just having a rough day with their dogs or cats or have some great milestone. So, Patricia, if you're listening, we're thrilled you're out there. We were really so delighted that you gathered up all your friends and told them to listen. And that's really what we need all of you to do. I mean, to make this show have the kind of power that it needs to have, to change people's hearts and minds and get them on healthy food and healthy choices for their pets. We need lots of people listening. So don't be the least bit shy to write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com and say, well, send me an announcement I can send to my friends, because we got it all sorted out with our cute logo right on it and all the information about Dr. Sean and myself. And we really want you to pay it forward, because we're thrilled to be here for you. But the more people that are here, the better it is for all of us. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'll have a little lull in the phones now, and it's a good time for you to talk a little bit about pet rats, because I'm just so curious. Was that marvelous couple that grieves so deeply for having to put their rat to sleep? Was that the only pet rat you ever had as a patient, or have you had a number of them?
You know, we get a lot of exotic pets. When I started off in practice 25 years ago, this was way before I became holistic. And so I've seen what becoming holistic has done positively for my practice, which we'll talk about another time, of course.
Or but even this time. I'd like to know that after you finish this thought.
Okay, good. So
I'd like to know how
though,
you made that evolution.
Yeah, that's a really interesting story. Because really, yeah. I always, whenever I've interviewed people on my prior show, Holistic Vets, I always like to find out what made you kind of move away just from conventional
right.
medicine. So I'll kind of tell
right.
you my story too. But
yes.
the pet rat. So at the time, I was pretty well known for and actually wrote some books on and lectured and taught veterinarians about exotic pets. Of course, pet rats would be considered exotic because they're not
right.
a dog or a cat. So over the years, we've seen a number of small rodents, what some people call pocket pets. I think guinea pigs and rats are probably the easiest ones to work with. They're certainly the friendliest ones, and they're the biggest ones, so I can do a lot more for them than, for example, say a hamster or a gerbil. But we've seen a lot of rats, and really when you look at rodents, the main problems with them tend to be respiratory diseases, viral diseases, bacterial diseases. They're fairly easy to treat. If the owners handle them daily and work with them regularly, they actually can become quite lovable pets. So this particular rat actually had a respiratory disease, actually had some congestive heart failure. And people won't believe this, but this particular couple actually had oxygen in their home for this rat
wow.
for the last few months of its life. So they really
wow.
went overboard and really, really, as I said earlier, just grieved for this rat because they'd put so much into this little rat.
Well, what is their lifespan? I met a gal that was doing PR for Petco for a year. I was the Petco spokesperson. So I went around and got on local TV in Sacramento and gave people fabulous pet travel tips and stuff. And the PR gal taking me around, who looked like the most straight-laced, like, you know, middle-of-the-road, conventional, nice woman, like dressed like a businesswoman, when she talked about the second rat she'd had and how it died, she could not cry. And I just couldn't imagine her with a rat running all over her body, but she talked about the affectionate and the bright and the funny and came calling when she called it. And I forget how – she said they only live a really short –
just
long
a few years. Yeah. And, you know,
yeah.
one of the things when I see families with these small rodents, especially if they have young children, I let them know this is not like a dog or a cat that's going to live 15 or 20 years. If I have a mouse or a hamster that says 2 years old – that animal's pretty old. That's like a 15-year-old dog or cat. So for those animals to get sick and severely ill, sometimes fatally ill at that age, is not unusual. So if you're going to get some of these exotic pets, you need to understand that often they're not going to live nearly as long as a dog or cat. And that's okay as long as we're prepared for that.
And yet, on the other hand, the rats in particular apparently can make such a place in your heart that it's just devastating. In fact, she said,
I mean, they're really neat little animals.
Apparently, did you, as a vet, when you were first studying, and you said you also studied human medicine, you've had
yes.
a fantastic life. Were there ever any animals that kind of gave you the heebie-jeebies, like snakes or something? I mean, do you just embrace all animal life as being fascinating and marvelous? I don't know. There's something about a rat's tail that just creeps me out.
You know, I really love all animals. You mentioned snakes. I actually love working with snakes. Now, we don't work with poisonous snakes, but the reason I love working with snakes is compared to dogs and cats, they're really easy to work with. Because if you think about it, if you control the snake's head, you're not going to get bitten.
Right.
They don't have any claws. The larger constricting snakes I don't work with by myself. So there's very little danger that's posed to me by a snake compared to a dog or cat with teeth and claws. Also, once again, as far as medicine goes, you don't really have to know as much about snakes because the common diseases they get, there are only about four or five super common diseases compared to many, many, many common diseases dogs and cats get.
Right.
But you know what's interesting? We're talking about diseases. I have the good fortune over the last few years, about once a year, every other year, to lecture at my alma mater, Texas A&M Veterinary School.
Really?
And we talk
what fun.
I do. And so I get invited to talk to the Holistic Vet Club about holistic medicine. And one of the things I did, just to show you how much you learn in vet school that may not be as practical on a day-to-day basis as what you really need, I decided when I was going to do this talk on holistic care to sit down and on one page of paper, I wrote down everything you need to learn as a vet student that's going to help you 90% of the time in practice. And I brought this piece of paper to the school and gave it out to the students, and they kind of laughed. But truthfully, I could put everything on one sheet of paper that if you learned everything on this sheet of paper, you can handle 90% of the stuff that comes in your door. Obviously
wow.
not holistic, but just the general medical part. So that was kind of neat too. But when it comes to exotic pets, one of the things I lecture to vets about is – don't forget your basic stuff because what applies to dogs and cats applies to exotic pets. You just need to learn a few diseases per species, and then you're pretty much set to handle most of the exotic cases that come in your door.
That, you know, that's really interesting. One of the things that we as dog and cat owners don't think about is that there is a danger to you and to your staff each time you handle a dog or cat because even the nicest ones, if they're in pain – or if they're fearful, and often both things are true in the vet's office, may react in ways that we as the owner have never seen before. I have a lot of friends who are vets, which are you guys as a group are just some of the most beloved people on earth. And one of the things that really bugs me a lot, and I know it bugs you a lot, is when the vet or the vet tech will say to the owner, is there anything I should know about this pet, about handling them if it's a new visit for you.
Yeah, great question.
And they say no, and then the dog just often bites you, and the person will say something along the lines of, God, he hasn't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, they know the dog's a biter. Has that something that's happened to you? Have you – I mean,
well,
how often does that biting issue come up for you?
Let me put it this way. I have very, very fast reflexes, okay? And I wasn't born
yes.
with those reflexes.
Yes.
I developed those reflexes. And there are a number
yes.
of times I could have been bitten or scratched but wasn't. Actually, the last time I was bitten was about a year and a half ago. And before that, probably 15 or so years. And
describe,
same with
describe the experience of the event. I think it's important that we all are more conscious of the fact that we could be placing you as our doctor in some kind of jeopardy. What was that situation?
Well, this particular dog, and it actually was my fault, okay? I knew this dog could be aggressive, although when he came in that day to be dropped off for a surgery, actually the staff was petting him. He seemed nice. This was actually a dog. I use very soft muzzles in our practice. And while he was muzzled, he was getting aggressive, and I kind of went for his head and just kind of, wave my hand at him and say, stop doing that. My hand got too close to his muzzled mouth. He bit me through the muzzle. Now, the good news is the bite needed to be sewn up, but it wasn't
wow.
nearly as bad if he didn't have the muzzle on. One thing, this is actually a good time since I brought up muzzling. A lot of people don't like their pets muzzled. And what I tell owners is, look, I don't need to be afraid of your dog. If I'm trying to draw blood or examine your pet and I'm constantly thinking your dog might bite me,
that's right,
I can't do my job. The muzzle does not hurt your dog. They don't like it, but it doesn't hurt them. It protects them. It certainly protects myself and my staff. So all of our pets, I don't care how nice they are, if
really?
It's a dog, they're being muzzled. If it's a cat, they're being restrained, often with a towel on their head or given a little bit of gas anesthesia to sedate them. So I had a cat today that was upset, and we couldn't touch it awake. So it gets a little bit of gas. I could draw blood. It was happy. I was happy. No big deal. So don't be afraid of muzzling. And one of my favorite doctors, who's one of the surgeons who will come to my practice and do surgery, has a very interesting response when owners say to him, oh, my dog's never bitten anybody. His response is, and I don't want to be the first one.
That's right.
So I don't care
That's
if your
exactly
dog's the
right.
nicest dog in the world. When they come to the doctor, sometimes they're stressed. Yes, I'm going to cause pain when I give your dog a shot. Any doctor that says it doesn't hurt is a liar. Now, we can do things to minimize the pain from the shot. We can distract the dog so he doesn't
right.
really feel it right away. But obviously, if you're getting stuck with a needle hurts. And I use very, very tiny needles, so it doesn't hurt much. And normally, I've developed such great techniques with things. Most dogs and cats don't know they've been given a shot until literally I'm done and the needle's already out and I'm onto something else, because I can go real fast. We use smaller needles than other doctors. And these are just tricks I've learned over the year to make your pet's visit much more pleasant, my visit much more pleasant. But I don't lie to people. You know, needles can hurt. Some dogs love to come to our office. Some cats do. Some hate it. So we have to take each pet individually and try to make the visit as pleasant as we can for everybody. And we're really known in our area for that.
So if my dog came in and I said to you, I've got my three dogs come into every visit. It doesn't matter which one's being visited. They just come as a pack.
And that's a great idea. I
moral
love
support.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it actually is much less stressful for
it absolutely
only,
is.
Only one of them of the three, not the two Weimaraners, strangely enough, but the collie mix pants and doesn't shake, but just pants and paces a lot in the doctor's office. If I said to you, these dogs are totally bomb-proof in terms of being handled and turning on anybody. One of them I don't trust with other dogs, but I totally trust them with people. You'd still say to me, I want the soft muzzle. Is it the one that those gals out in California developed? Is it like a cloth that goes just around the mouth, or is it one
No. It actually covers the mouth. It's I forgot the brand that makes it because my office manager orders these things.
Right.
It's a mesh type muzzle. It's very strong. Now, when I say muzzling, if we're having a nice visit, I'm not going
to
muzzle your pet.
I see.
I take
when
the pet in the back
to
draw
something.
Blood because
right.
I don't know how the dog's going to react when I draw blood. You know, I have to go in the vein with the needle. And, you know, I don't want anybody injured. And owners don't want people injured either.
That's
they don't
right.
want the vet staff to be injured. You know, to me, muzzling is just so second nature for me. It's like, why would you not muzzle a pet that might
right.
get upset that one time and bite you? Because
yes.
then if I get my finger chewed off, I can't help anybody for a while.
That's
and that's
right.
not good.
That's right. And when you got bitten, the dog bit you through that mesh muzzle. But you're saying
that's
that
right.
you used your hand in a way that was threatening.
Well,
of.
I was trying to wave my hand at the dog's head to get it to settle down, which – was my mistake, but I was trying to get the dog to settle down. My hand got really close to the mouth. And like I said, it wasn't a horrible thing. I obviously couldn't do surgery that day, but I healed within a couple of days. I could still go to work. And the bite, thankfully, the dog was not aggressive. It was a fear-biting thing. And those bites, I'm not saying they can't be bad, but it's not an attack. I mean, the dog just snaps
right.
quickly and they're not coming at
right.
you. That's actually a better bite, depending, of course, where you were bitten. And the owner was all upset and apologetic. He was like, look, it really was my fault. This happens. I'm prepared for this. I went to my doctor. He sewed my hand up. It was not a big deal. But like I said, I'm very hypersensitive to being injured at my office. And if there's a cat that's getting stressed out, that cat's getting put in a little aquarium box and getting some gas. And we're going to make the cat less stressed out. I don't want the cat having a heart attack. I don't want the dog to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
That's why we have sedatives. That's why we have muzzles. That's why we have safe methods of restraint. If it's a large animal, a horse or cattle, much more risk, obviously. But once again, we have wonderful medicines we can use to calm these pets, not just for my sake, but I really don't want your pet to hate coming to the vet. I don't want your pet to get sick and have a heart attack. That's stupid. There's no need to do that.
Which I really appreciate that, because you're a holistic vet and you think, well, I would never use, you know, the gas or the anesthesia or some kind of a sedative. But it's great that you figured out from experience that to avoid a problem is much better than dealing with it or wondering
if the pet's health. Like I said, there's no reason for a pet to get stressed coming to the doctor. I think your idea of coming in with the pets that don't really need to be there but just want to be there, I love that. And I encourage people to do that, because then your pet comes to the doctor – but all we're going to do is pet your pet and then love it and give it a treat and go home. And there's nothing bad associated with that visit.
That's exactly right. In fact, the one who's always nervous is nervous when it's not her turn at all. And the other guys, it's funny. They really enjoy it. There's really good smells in the outer office because all those little feet have walked by. And it was funny when I first went to this vet, a very nice West Mountain vet in Bennington. And I have these two huge Weimaraner boys. I mean, it isn't just that they're 100 pounds. And as I said earlier, one used to be 129 pounds. They're really tall. They're absurdly tall. Apparently, two-thirds of Weimaraners are discarded. I don't know. The Mid-Atlantic Weim rescue guy told me that. Two-thirds of them are discarded. And three of the Weims that I've rescued were all discarded at 6 months. So these are all usually pet store dogs, which means puppy mills, which means that the breeding is indiscriminate. And I think it's one of the reasons they're so ridiculously large. I mean, it's just like crazy large. But they come into the vet's office wagging their tails. They get in the exam office and they both just lie down on the floor like they're perfectly I didn't train them to do it. And when I first came there, they have a wonderful staff of vet techs. They have at least half a dozen. There's only three vets, but the vet techs do a lot, and they get everyone ready in the rooms. They started to come in like paying homage. They said, could we come and have a look? We heard there's these two really well-behaved Weimaraners here. We've never seen well-behaved Weimaraners. It was so funny. I guess a lot of Weims don't get enough exercise and aren't socialized enough, so they kind of jump around a lot. And these guys are just lying on the floor waiting for someone to pat them. And I think it really is a great idea to bring, if you can, all of your animals, not your cats, because they would avoid no, thank you. But it's a great thing to do, and then no one knows whose turn it is, and it all does become kind of a love fest kind of thing. All right, I'm going to give the number again. I think one of the things about having the show being 2 hours is that a lot of people thought it was only an hour, which originally it was going to be. So we had loads of calls in the beginning, and now not so much because people probably thought it was just the 1 hour. So if you're still listening or you've just tuned in, it is the whole 2 hours, which is 8 to 10 East Coast, which makes it 7 to 9 Central Time, which is where Dr. Sean is in Texas.
It's my time, yes.
Yeah, that's only 5 to 7 p.m. on the West Coast, which is where Sleepy Pod and so forth is. So that number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I guess I could read our little sponsors again, because we really appreciate having sponsors. It's amazing to have a brand new show with sponsors of our very own, and there will be more over time. And I just want to explain that the sponsors that we have on this show are people and companies and services that we personally know, that we recommend personally. We've actually invited them to advertise and be sponsors of the show. There's a lot of pet food companies that wouldn't be welcome, and a lot of products that we just don't have a lot of respect or interest in. So the ones you hear about, including Dr. Sean's own company and his online, are thoughtful companies where they're thoughtful about what they're doing, and we think a lot of what they're doing. So I'm just going to give you another little series of these sponsors, and gives people a chance to call in, 888-627-6008. We would really love you to join us. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is brought to you with the support of Goose Silver, a holistic supplement for senior canines developed by veterinarian Dr. Kristen Holm, designed to help aging dogs maintain their mental sharpness and physical well-being. Goose Silver is a peanut butter-based lickable product with all natural ingredients that enter the dog's bloodstream through the membranes in his mouth and his intestinal tract lining. It's a broad-spectrum canine supplement that addresses the special needs of your aging dog's mental state, anti-inflammatory ingredients for joint discomfort from arthritis, and antioxidants for his immune system. Visit GooSilver.com for more information. You can find many of the supplements Dr. Sean mentions on the show and those that he doesn't in his online store at petcarenaturally.com. And the best way to get there is go to radiopetlady.com so you can see the 10% off code and take advantage of monthly specials. He carries Feel Away for cats and adaptable diffusers and collars for dogs. In his own veterinary clinic in Plano, Texas, where he practices integrative holistic medicine. He can also consult with your own vet to help you integrate alternative medicine into your pet's care, meaning he will work with your vet over the telephone or email and help integrate some of these non-traditional integrative ideas and products into your pet's care. He's developed a number of healthy natural products for his patients like Itch Relief Shampoo, All Natural Herbal Earwash, Olive Leaf Plus, and CI Support, supplements to support the immune system for pets with cancers and immune diseases. Go to Radio Pet Lady to get the 10% off code for Dr. Sean's store at petcarenaturally.com and take advantage of those specials. I'm hoping everyone will write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com to get a free sample box of Whole Life Pet Treats. It's an amazing family-owned company that makes single-ingredient, grain-free, all-natural, freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs. They use only human-grade, antibiotic-free proteins that are sustainably grown and harvested, and they never use additives, chemicals, or preservatives. Whole Life Pet makes small batches of treats by hand in their state-of-the-art freeze-drying machines at their location in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, using one pure protein, poultry, meat, fish, and cheese. All their products are sourced, produced, and packaged in the United States, assuring quality and safety, as well as support for the American economy. Send me your mailing address, radiopetlady@gmail.com, for a free box of Whole Life Pet samples. And that's true for anybody listening. And for those of you who called in tonight, don't forget that Diana's going to get the dog prize of the really cool bookmark that goes with the dog Bible, the mini leash bookmark. And Stacy in Kentucky is going to get the cat prize of the coupon for precious cat litter. Anybody who's listening and has kitties and would like to try that litter, you can write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com if you can't make a phone call right now. And I will send anybody who calls in and has kitties and would like to try that litter. It's really quite a different experience than other litters. I have to send you some of those coupons, Dr. Sean. You have two kitties.
I would love to use this. And you said this is a cat attract, right?
Yes. It's.
See, I use that on my cats. Actually, the brand I sell in my practice, so I know my clients would love this stuff. I love that
stuff. Oh, my God. Dig that, you guys. See, here we are. We're, you know, coming from the opposite ends of satellite radio, different nights of the week, and here we are both loving the exact same litter. Now, considering how much litter is out there, that's a pretty huge endorsement for Cat Attract litter. I mean, we both could have picked almost anything, and that's what we picked as being our favorites.
Yeah.
So we don't have other calls at the moment. So I'd love to go back to this topic about, well, I don't know. Do you think we should discuss Prozac? Maybe a little bit more about heartworm, because that was something you talked about last week.
Yeah, we started talking about that last
week. And it's very interesting. And I know the Iverheart is a brand that you sell online. Do you sell it online?
No, because that's a prescription drug. So you really
can't. Oh, I see.
I use that in my practice, though. That's my number one heartworm preventive.
And it's less expensive than the other brands?
Yeah, it's basically a generic version of HeartGuard.
I see.
And it's one I give to my dog. Now, I do believe and I do use heartworm prevention for cats here in Texas, but there's only one product for that that actually is the HeartGuard product. But for dogs, there's several products. And I just kind of like Iverheart. It's made by Virbac. Virbac is a company right here in Fort Worth, right down the road from us.
Are they really? I didn't know that.
And I know we're trying to maybe hopefully get them to help advertise and sponsor our show because they have some great products. But Iverheart is one of their products that came out, probably a good 10 years ago. I think it's probably my number one selling heartworm preventive for dogs. It's really good.
Well, I'm going to start using it because after last week's show, I really had the wake-up call that it really is just best to use it year-round. It's false economy.
I think it's best,
To skip some months. The other thing Virbac has is some – earlier we were talking about Diana was talking about her dogs having some plaque on her teeth. I'd really like to discuss that because Virbac has some very good dental chews. They're kind of a rawhide kind of a chew, I think, but it's impregnated with – I'm not sure what it has, but when they chew it, it really does take some of the tartar.
Oh, they're CET chews. Yeah. That actually has, I believe it's a hydrogen peroxide based, yes, and maybe a couple other things in there. And I'm not a big raw fan because, as you know, if you go to the pet store and get that stuff from China, it's just loaded with all sorts of garbage. But if you get these sterilized CET treats, I think those are very helpful. You know, probably one a day or so if your dog likes to chew. It's not going to replace the professional dental cleaning, but it can help interact with the teeth and maybe delay or prolong the onset of dental disease and the need for more frequent dental cleanings.
Well, the other thing that I would love, and we might as well have this conversation live on the air and have people understand how we come to decide what products we really do want to support and to promote, and therefore invite them to support and promote our show, is there are a number of products that you can spray on your dog's teeth that definitely do have an effect of removing some of the tartar and plaque. Now, I'm a big believer that there's at least one time, if not multiple times, in many pets' lives where they need a professional dental cleaning by their vet, and people are very scared of that, and they're scared of the anesthesia. But you guys, to do it humanely, have to have the animals out because you have to scrape pretty hard to get that really caked on tartar and plaque off, right? I mean, this is something that's part of maintaining overall health, is keeping the teeth clean and the gums clean.
Well, you know, I just did a dental cleaning on an older dog last week that also had a little tumor of the gums we took off. And by the way, I should point out, we talk about dental disease, but occasionally when I'm cleaning a pet's teeth, especially a cat's teeth, I will find cancer in the mouth.
Yes.
Particularly
yes.
squamous cell carcinoma or melanoma.
Yes.
So it's not just about cleaning the teeth.
That's
because
right.
you can't often find these oral tumors when the pet's awake unless they're just
right.
so far advanced. So don't forget that cleaning the teeth in pets also serves as a time for us to sometimes diagnose and, of course, try to treat oral cancer. This particular dog, we knew it had an oral tumor. It was benign, which was good. But we cleaned its teeth. And this was – it was lucky. And this particular dog – it was kind of a 13, 14-year-old mixed breed, mid-sized dog, 40, 50
right.
pounds, kind of acting old, kind of sluggish, not feeling good. I talked to the owner today to give her the biopsy results and tell her the tumor was benign, which she was all happy about. She said, you know, Dr. Sean, this dog is like a puppy. Ever since you cleaned the teeth, this dog is eating better, running around, the breath smells 100% better. I said, that's exactly why you clean teeth.
Yes.
It's not just cosmetic. You're removing the most common infection that dogs and cats get. You're removing the most common source of inflammation dogs and cats get. In people now, they're showing dirty teeth or chronic periodontal disease directly can cause and exacerbate diabetes, kidney disease, heart disease, and it is the number one source of chronic inflammation that makes your CRP, your C-reactive protein levels, go up. When your CRP levels are up, that's a marker for inflammation. And if you see people, and we don't really study this in pets, but people with elevated CRP have a higher incidence of pretty much pick your favorite disease, heart disease, Alzheimer's,
really?
Kidney disease, cancer, etc.
Wow.
But look at the mouth for the most common source of chronic inflammation and infection. When you get rid of that stuff, and as you mentioned, you've got to use anesthesia to do it correctly. I hate seeing all these ads for
Tooth
Fairy and all these people.
Terrible.
There was a great study that was done and reported in one of my vet journals 2 months ago where they showed pictures of pets' teeth and x-rays of the bone structure of the teeth and the tooth roots of dogs and cats that had gone to the local groomer or whoever was cleaning the teeth without anesthesia. And I was shocked how much serious dental disease was missed, because we didn't have the pet under anesthesia to look at the teeth or x-ray the teeth. And these pets had some major serious problems that were not addressed and were ignored by scraping and brushing the teeth because someone wanted to save money and not put the pet under anesthesia. So good for you, Tracy, for mentioning about anesthesia being totally necessary to help, in some cases, save these pets' lives, much less save their teeth.
And totally safe. I mean, there's we're not in the dark ages. This is not medieval times, friends. I mean, managing anesthesia.
We
on
don't
dogs
use
and
ether
cats,
anymore. We use good anesthetic.
Right. Yeah, you don't like ask the dog to take a swig of whiskey and chew down on the bullet. I mean, it's kind, it's loving, it's correct to do it with anesthesia. My dog Scooby-Doo, this is a very interesting story that you had with the woman saying that her dog was like a puppy. What that tells you is that dog was suffering. He was in pain.
Yes, absolutely.
It hurt him not just to chew, but even cold air coming in. I mean, everyone can remember, if you've ever had a cavity or some gum inflammation, cold and hot liquids and cold air, it hurts. It's a searing pain. Scooby-Doo, and I'm never, ever going to use cow hooves again. You think I would have been smart enough the first time.
Yeah, they love to break teeth on cow hooves.
Oh, my God, Sean. He had a cracked tooth in the back. My vet, Bob Bergman, it took him 45 minutes to get – he said his fingers were numb afterwards. It was such a back tooth, cracked through and through. He had to remove two sides of it. It was a huge dental oral surgery, huge.
Mm-hmm.
The dog was Mr. Happy Cakes afterwards. And he hadn't been grumpy exactly, but he was like, I just thought, oh, he's just feeling old. And so if you have an animal of 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 and you think, they're just not feeling so good because they're old, probably their mouth feels crummy.
And they're actually older than they're supposed to be, but because they have this horrible inflammation. But let me point out something really important, because this is something you may not have thought about, and I see this way too often. Okay, we get a lot of patients that will come to us, middle-aged to older pets. We're talking to the owner, and I'll say, how come you haven't had this tumor removed, or how come you haven't had the teeth cleaned? Well, my vet says the pet's too old for anesthesia, or my vet scared to anesthetize my pet. Well, first of all, no pet is too old for proper care. No pet is too old for anesthesia. Now, if your vet tells you, I'm uncomfortable putting your pet under anesthesia, believe them. Don't let them do it. Find someone that is not uncomfortable doing that. You laugh, but if a doctor tells me I'm uncomfortable anesthetizing you, good. You're not going to do it. Somebody will. And once again, I'm not here to brag, but our practice, because we're holistic and we see so many older pets, all we're doing every day is anesthetizing old, sickly pets, and they all do great. Yes. The very few pets I've ever had die under anesthesia were all pets under a year of age. Very young pets that had nothing wrong with them, but they had an unexpected, what's called an idiosyncratic or allergic reaction to the anesthetic, and they passed away. And we're talking 2 or 3 pets over 25 years, so very few. I've never, ever, 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 ever had an older pet have a problem under anesthesia. And if we have time tonight, or if we get some more callers, we can do this another night. I'm going to share with you the story of Pookie and of Fred, who's part of Fred and Ethel. So those are some interesting cases.
Yes,
but do you want to comment about the aging and the anesthesia and how we really need to care for these older pets?
I definitely want to comment on it because it's something that really bothers me. We all, and this is just really important that everybody wrap their mind around this. Everybody listening to this show, in all likelihood, you brush your teeth a minimum of twice a day, and you taught your children to in the morning and at night. A lot of people brush their teeth after meals as well. And you do that pretty well with a pretty good toothbrush and a pretty good toothpaste. And yet, even so, we go to our dentist not once but twice a year for a dental cleaning.
Yes.
So why is it such a big bloody shock that a dog that's eating – most of them are eating a whole lot of highly processed, carbohydrate-laden kibble, which is sprayed with fats, all of which leave tartar and plaque on their teeth, as well as all the other good stuff that they eat. And it's not it's perfectly natural for tartar and plaque to form. There's nothing wrong with your dog or cat. It's part of nature, just like it is with us. Hey, I'm not 7 years old anymore, and I still can get cavities. Or fillings can be undermined and have to be looked at underneath. We don't usually get tumors and growths in our mouth, although I do know somebody who her dentist found a growth at the back of her throat, which was very serious cancer and was a big fat deal. And if she weren't going regularly to her dentist, it probably wouldn't have been found until, as you say, it was big enough that it interfered with some sort of, function. The cancers that a vet like Sean can find in your dog or cat's mouth, he can actually cure, maybe the wrong word, Sean, but if you get them early and you can
sometimes
get them out of there.
Sometimes you can cure it, but right. At least you're diagnosing it and we're intervening in an early stage, which I think is the best time to help pets with any sort of tumor.
And a lot of things happen in the mouth. I mean, I don't know how many breeds of dogs are most at risk. I think boxers have a big – there's some breeds that get a lot more – oral tumors and oral cancer. But cats are very prone to it as they get older.
Especially squamous cell carcinoma. And the bad news is we often don't diagnose that till it's too advanced to really do a lot for the cat. But once again, if we're checking the pet over a couple times a year, cleaning the teeth once or twice a year, the chance of catching that early is much greater the more we get a chance to look in the cat's mouth.
It is. And it's, you know, if you just think of the discomfort that one of the worst things you can have is tooth pain. I mean, you know, the cartoon where the guy, you know, had this whole head, the old cartoons, they used to the comic strips where the guy, the toothache was, you know, had a big bandage all the way around his head and a big swollen lump in his cheek. Even if that's not how bad you look when you have a problem with your teeth or gums, that's what it feels like, throbbing. Every time your blood circulates, it's throbbing. And that's happening to your pet. So if you look and you see that there's – yeah, it hurts. It feels horrible. And it's going to get worse. I mean, the gums are inflamed. They're going to get more inflamed. If there's tartar and plaque up underneath the gum line, your vet needs to, under anesthesia, which is the only kind way to do it, the only humane way to do it, scrape it off, right? And then you may find broken teeth or you may find – all kinds of things that you can sort out.
So let me tell you about Pookie.
Yes, please.
I want to hear about Pookie. So when people get scared about older pets, Pookie is one of my favorite stories to tell. So Pookie has since passed, but Pookie was – the last time I saw Pookie to clean his teeth, he was about 19, 20 years old, a little dachshund.
Wow.
Now, Pookie was one of these dogs, and this is even regardless of the teeth being horrible. But Pookie is one of these dogs that literally during the office visit, you'd have to kind of poke on Pookie to make sure Pookie was still with us. I mean, he was really ancient and wasn't always there. And I kid you not, I'm not making this stuff up for radio. This is the truth. So Pookie came in, and Pookie was actually, other than that, had some early kidney disease, some heart disease, but it was pretty stable for a 19, 20-year-old kind of decrepit dachshund.
Wow.
So Pookie came in and, you know, I had a chat with the owner and said, okay, you know, just keep in mind there's always a risk with anesthesia, which I tell everybody, and I don't expect any problems with Pookie. He's an older dog that doesn't make the risk any more or less. It really doesn't. But just, you know, just be aware we need to clean the teeth. There's always a risk. And the owner said, well, you know, we've had Pookie for many, many years. Pookie's been a great dog. We don't expect he's going to have a problem here. But if he does, Dr. Sean, you know, we're okay. We know he's not going to be with us much longer and the teeth need to be cleaned. So to show you how safe it is to anesthetize an old dog, keep in mind that Pookie, when Pookie was conscious, as I mentioned, we still had to check on Pookie to make sure Pookie was still conscious and still with us. Pookie used, and I gave Pookie so little gas anesthesia, the least amount of anesthetic I've used on any dog with one other exception. I'll tell you that story in a minute.
Okay.
That I'm surprised Pookie was actually anesthetized with the least – I mean, there's so little anesthesia that if you read any textbook, Pookie could have never have been asleep with this little bit of anesthesia. But once again, Pookie was old, kind of decrepit. You weren't always sure if Pookie was with us. So I gave Pookie a little tiny bit of anesthesia, put a tube in his mouth, cleaned his teeth. He recovered. He lived another 6 months and just died of old age. And so one of my stories is – if Pookie can survive anesthesia, pretty much any pet can. The other pet I had, and this is a funny story, but it's also a sad story, involves a little dog named Fred. Fred's buddy was Ethel. Fred and Ethel from obviously I Love Lucy. Fred had the most severe anxiety I've ever seen in any dog. And actually, about a year after this dental cleaning, we had to euthanize Fred for his anxiety because nothing can help this dog. No drug can help this dog. I mean, this dog was so severely anxious. When the owner would bring him to my office, as soon as he walked in the door, Fred would pass out and literally pass out.
Oh, my God.
Became totally unconscious. So we talked about cleaning his teeth, which they needed to be done.
What kind of dog was he?
I forgot exactly, but he was like a little terrier kind of dog.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Little bitty dog. So, you know, Fred, of course, passed out. He came to. We did a quick visit, checked his blood. Everything was normal. We talked about treating anxiety, but nothing worked for Fred. So we did agree that Fred should at least have his teeth cleaned because they were horrible. And, of course, Fred hardly ever went to the vet because of this severe anxiety and unconsciousness. So Fred had his dental cleaning scheduled. He was the first in the morning. We got ready for Fred. Fred walked in the door and, as expected, totally passed out.
It must have been quite a sight.
Well, we were ready, though. To be honest with you, I don't even think I used anesthesia on Fred. I think he was so out of it, I used oxygen, maybe anesthesia, and put a tube in him. Now, once again, Fred survived, lived for another year before we both admitted this is cruel to this dog. He has so much anxiety, even at home. It's not fair to keep him alive. But the good news was, once again, Fred survived anesthesia. Pookie survived anesthesia. I'm not going to ever guarantee a pet can't have a problem under anesthesia, but we have to get away from being scared of anesthesia because the pet is quote-unquote old. When I'm old, if I need anesthesia, I'm getting it. But once again, if your doctor tells you, I don't want to put your pet under anesthesia because of age or heart disease, listen to them, but it doesn't mean someone can't help. And you may have to find that someone. The nice thing about holistic medicine is we have a holistic balanced approach to anesthesia, to where I'm really fine-tuning our anesthesia to keep it so, so light that my dental cleaning patients wake up sometimes too soon, but certainly by the time we're done, and they're going home in a half an hour, totally awake, no hangover. And by the way, if you've ever had a pet go home after anesthesia that's hung over and falling over and can't stand up,
yeah,
that's malpractice. That should never happen. That doctor should have never released that pet. So once again, we don't give that kind of anesthesia to our patients. We don't send them home unconscious or semi-conscious. They need to have safe anesthesia. They need to be monitored during anesthesia. We need to make sure they stay alive during anesthesia. We help them breathe if they need that, just like we do with people under anesthesia. And they go home fully awake within minutes to hours of the procedure. They don't stay overnight. They're happier at home. They're less stressed at home. We're happier with them at home. That's
right.
The way to do correct anesthesia.
It's very important that people hear that, because I think one of the least utilized skills that vets have, and the least utilized privilege that you can give us, is to keep these animals healthy and well. Not always just be dealing with emergencies and problems and lamenesses, but the idea of, especially with senior pets, coming in a couple of times a year, you know, it's sort of like one always knows that old crotchety guy, right, who says,
yeah,
I don't go to the doctor. You go to the doctor, they find something wrong with you. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's sort of pretty primitive, right? Because
yes,
the thing wrong with that old guy, obviously the doctor didn't do it. The doctor found it. Any medical condition that you find early, you can either slow it down, stop it, fix it. The further along it goes, heart disease, you have the heart muscle that, you know, is compromised. You get an enlarged heart, kidneys, liver, all these things, and particularly teeth. So I think that I don't know how many members you have to the – and next week I really want to hear more about how you went from being a conventional vet, if you will, or a mainstream vet, to being a holistic one. But how many members are there of the Holistic Veterinary Association? Do you know?
Is it like – about 1,000 or so, maybe a little bit more, and that's worldwide, so not a bunch.
Not a whole bunch. So
no.
This is another reason that – I think it's really cool to have this show and have people that have always been interested personally for themselves and their human family in not doing heavy medication and going right into kind of only Western thinking, but more of a naturalistic, holistic way of looking at things, looking at health and looking at illness. It's perfectly acceptable and expected to get a second opinion or another vet to work with your own vet. And I'm sure that there are a lot of mainstream vets like Dr. Shelby of AskTheCatDoctor.com who would love to know more about what you've learned and what you know. I mean, they just haven't gone in that direction, but they're not, you know, they're still open-minded
to it. Yeah,
not
sure.
Opposed. In fact, they'd love to embrace it. They just don't have a colleague like you that they can turn to. So,
and keep in mind, too, I had a lady the other day who was asking about getting medical records from her doctor, and she said, you know, we'll get the records for you since we're going to start coming to you for some care, but, you know, do you think the other doctor would be offended? And of course, my thought is I don't care one way or the other, but, you know, no doctor should be offended. You're just asking for another opinion, excuse me, another perspective.
Yes.
And once again, if your doctor gets offended, that's the wrong doctor for you.
It's not a great sign. I mean, a doctor who's afraid to do, you know, if your doctor, like mine, does surgery the way you do, but that is more minor things, simpler things,
yeah,
things that are more run of the mill. But mm-hmm, when there's going to be an ACL repair on a 129-pound dog that involves hardware and so forth, they're going to send you to a specialist, not because they're unable, but because they realize it's beyond their capacity. They
yes.
They would do one a year instead of one a day. So you want the doctor who does that more complicated thing all day long. He's seen it all. He's done it all. And, you know, he's learned from his mistakes earlier in his life. You don't want your pet to be the one that they're learning from. But where dental care is concerned, it doesn't make any sense to go not with your own vet. I mean, unless it's something pretty exotic.
Yeah, and like I said, just because your dog or cat has a problem, you know, disease should not exclude proper care. And once again, we anesthetize pets every day with heart disease and cancer and kidney failure and cats with bladder disease. And that's fine. I mean, if your pet needs that procedure done, if your pet has a disease, we want to know it ahead of time. We want to make sure it's stable. But if it's an emergency procedure, of course, you don't have that benefit. But elective procedures, you've got time to spend a week or two and get your pet stable. If it needs some fluids or antibiotics or some of these wonderful herbs we use, you can do that and then still safely do the procedure, whatever needs to be done.
And it's just something that we all have to get more comfortable with and realize that it's really for the pet's wellness. I want to look into some of the sprays that are on the market. I personally had my dog's teeth cleaned, and then they put that Orajel on,
yes.
which was done while they were still asleep. Then I bought the Orajel you're supposed to take home, and even my vet and vet tech admit, what a big mess. I mean, that,
it is
to my mind, it's a mess. It's a syringe full of this petroleum jelly kind of consistency stuff. It's all over your hands. It's all over the walls practically. But there are some sprays to use in between when you have a proper dental cleaning. And we both can look into them. There's one called Dentissure that's completely without alcohol, because what's interesting is those of you who have rescued greyhounds. Greyhounds have terribly bad mouths. I don't know if it's because
yes, they do.
Of their quality
well, they're
of care.
They're fed on the raw meat and everything, and they really don't get much care on the track.
They don't get much care on the track. They get discarded pretty early, but they cannot have alcohol in their system. A wonderful acupuncture chiropractic vet friend of mine has had a number of rescued greyhounds, and when I said, "Do you want to try the Vet's Life Pet's Life?" It has alcohol in it, which wouldn't be a problem for most pets, but is it true in your knowledge that greyhounds have a particular sensitivity to the alcohol in it, or was it just
first? I've not really seen that. And once again, with that kind of a spray, you're talking so little for such a big sized dog.
I would have thought so.
I get more cat owners when we're using herbal remedies, which tend to be alcoholic extracts if they're liquid, that are worried about the alcohol content. And once again, I tell the owners, no, you're not giving your cat the whole bottle. You're giving them a few
drops.
Now, the one bad thing about some herbal remedies is none of them taste good. So anytime I prescribe herbs, they go on the food or in the water. You can mask it with tuna juice or chicken broth or something.
Right.
But I don't really worry about the alcohol, even for smaller cats and dogs, as long as, once again, we're just careful. We know what's going on. The greyhounds, the only breed sensitivity I know of, you have to be careful with certain injectable anesthetics, which we don't use anyway. Otherwise, they do fine.
Yeah. So we're going to find a spray that we can recommend to people, because I think that the beginning of dental health is an awareness on your part. Now, a lot of cats will not let you open their mouth and won't let you do anything in there.
I don't care about that either.
Well, because they've got you for a dad, and they're
saying they don't really like the mouth opening.
Oh, even
I can
you.
Bathe my cats, but the mouth thing, they're not too big. I just clean their teeth as they need it.
Yeah, and I think that's. Well, they're lucky. They got a dad who can do it. But I'm gonna start scouting around and finding a spray that we both feel does make a difference, because definitely these sprays begin to wear down the tartar and plaque. And the directions on them is that you spray it every night, so it's in their mouth all night and they aren't eating and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then periodically you take the little rubber finger brush or use a piece of gauze wrapped around your fingers or a dog toothbrush, and you brush so that it softens it, and then you can brush it away a little bit. And I'm just very delinquent. I mean, I cut all my dog's toenails, and I'm not good on the dental part. So that's going to be my 2013 resolution: is do more, get my spray and my fingers in their mouth more. And I already am perfectly comfortable taking them to the vet.
And you know, let me also talk about, since you mentioned about home dental care, I used to really try to tell my clients, do home dental care, etc. Admitting that I don't do a lot of great home dental care. But here's something I want people to understand. you know, when your vet's giving you advice, et cetera, we have certain goals and ideals, but I try to, and we talked about this with the cat food last week, the dry in the can. I really want to work with my clients. I don't want to get them so upset that I'm such a hard nose that they don't want to come to me because they're going to get yelled at because they don't brush your pet's teeth.
Yes.
I know sometimes you may not brush your pet's teeth. I know you may forget to do it. You may not want to do it. Your pet doesn't like it. Okay, you know, I can live with that. There are things we can do for sprays or things we can put in the water. And just keep in mind, if you can't or won't do some of these things, all it means is you just have to spend a little bit more money more often
to
clean your pet's teeth. But you're not a bad owner if you can't do it. It's not the end of the world. Everything's fine. We can still help your pet. The more you can do at home, the better. But if it doesn't work out, you know, that's fine. I understand I have to work with pets and people, and they're not all, you know, just like I'd like them to be, so to speak.
It's very well said because, you know, we're all not going to be perfect, and we just have to be as we have to be forgiving of ourselves, and it's great
to have
Fred who can be forgiving of us.
Certainly.
Sean, the time has flown by. It's been a total delight.
Are we done already?
We're done already. I can't believe it.
Son,
I mean, it's like I just have to remind everybody that the podcast for this show will be up tomorrow, we hope, and last week's is already up. The network is coming. This show is going to stream live every single day of the week, along with a whole lot more really cool pet programming from yours truly. So just stay tuned for that, because that means people can listen in their cars, on their telephones, on their iPads and devices, and all the various hoo-ha, I this and I that and I the other thing. Anne-Marie, the animal communicator, is going to be with me the first Tuesday of every month. Dr. Sean will be off to play with his band and do some of the many other fascinating things he does. Do you know that he's also a practicing magician? Yes.
Oh,
our Dr. Sean is just amazing. So the first Tuesday of the month, it's going to be February 5th this month. Anne-Marie, the animal communicator, those of you that used to listen to her on Cat Chat know you got to call early, and when you start getting a busy signal, it means all the lines are filled. Just keep on dialing. We are so thrilled with the calls that we had tonight. It's just amazing to have started this show and already have all these great callers. I mean, Melanie, Diana, Jessica, Stacy, Linda, we thank you all so much. Any of you that want Cat Attract litter coupons for being callers, you just write to me, radiopetlady at gmail. Dr. Sean, your coupons are coming. You're already Mr. Cat Attract.
I am ready for that.
And I think you're going to get a Sleepy Pod carrier for your gorgeous kitties too. So you can just truck all over town with them safely in the car. It's the only carrier that has passed the U.S. government crash testing for infant car seats. The only
that's
one.
Important.
So that's pretty cool. Dr. Sean, have a wonderful rest of a night. I know that you will join me in saying kiss your kitties and hug your pooches. We love cats and dogs and the people who care for them, and we're really glad you're here with us. Have a great night.